Hey there and welcome to Soul Church.
Our prayer is that this message encourages you wherever you may be in life.
You know, we've been hearing so many stories about what God is doing in people's lives, and we'd love to hear yours. So take a second and send your story to stories@soulchurch.com.
Thanks again for joining us today, and we hope that you enjoy the message. God bless.
All right. Now this is the point in the service where I get to share just a few thoughts with us to help us through God's word. Now we believe in the Bible. This is the Bible, and we believe in the Bible front to back, and we believe this is the inspired word of God. We believe this is the book that helps us live a better life, and it also leads us to salvation. And so I want to share a few thoughts from this book tonight that's going to help us. But before we do that, can we pray? And if you feel comfortable, why don't you close your eyes, and we're going to invite God to come in this moment and speak to us through his word, the Bible. So we just thank you, God, for your word. We thank you that it brings strength, that it brings life. And up until this point of the service, we've given to you, but now you want to give back to us through your word to speak to us. Whether we've been coming to church for 50 years or whether this is our very first time in church, Father, I pray that you would give us something fresh and new today as you taught your disciples. Give us this day our daily bread. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, you guys can take your seats. Thank you to the team, the worship guys. Let's thank the musicians, singers. You guys are amazing as ever. This is week 3 in our series, our New Year's series, All Things New. God wants to do something new in your life in 2020. Who's expecting something new this year? New decade, new year, new you. Our series verse comes from Revelation chapter 21, verse 5. He who seated on the throne said, "Behold, I am making," let's say it together, "all things new, all things new." 10 years ago in Atlanta, USA, a man was found beaten with no identification around the back of a Burger King. When eventually he regained consciousness at the hospital, he developed total amnesia. And for the past 10 years, no one knows who he is. The FBI did fingerprints and DNA testing, and they came back with nothing. Dr. Phil heard about this gentleman and brought him on his show. No one claimed him. They put a private investigator on him, and no one knows who he is, and he doesn't know who he is, even to this day. True story. Now, I want you to think about that. Imagine if that was you. You come to church today, you know your first name, your surname, you know who your mom, your dad is, you know what your bank details are, what you should do. You know who your girlfriend is, your boyfriend is, your spouse is. But then tragically, something happens and suddenly you have no identity anymore. No past, no present, no connections. It's a terrifying ordeal. You know, this is exactly what is happening today in our culture. A war is happening on people's identity. The enemy of God is the devil, and he has declared war on this generation's identity. He cannot create. All he can do is pervert, hurt, and destroy people. And he is attacking people's identity nonstop. You see, the enemy, he cannot hurt God, so what he does is he goes after his children. If you want to hurt me, don't bother sending me a spiteful email, because it won't work, because I've kind of grown out of that. But if you bring my kids into things, it changes the rules of the game. Any parents out there? You mess with your kids, my kids, you mess with me, I mess with your kids, I mess with you. So what does the enemy do? He tries to attack our kids, us, the children of God. We are children of God. God created us, we are his children. So the enemy cannot go after God, so he goes after his children. And he stops us from trying to know our true identity. I want to talk tonight about a new identity. A new year and a new identity. How does the enemy keep us from knowing our true identity? Number one, if you're writing notes, is this: opinions. You know, people's opinions can actually stop your true identity. Maybe your parents' opinions of what they think you should or shouldn't do. your peers' opinions, your partner's opinions. You know, people, who's ever tried to be molded into someone else's opinion of what your life should be in their opinion? Who they want you to be, not who God wants you to be. People's opinions. You know, hurt from the past can also rob you of your identity. Often in life, we get hurt and it's easy to get resentful, get bitter. We become, you know, Mr. Angry, Mrs. Bitter. You know, none of us were born bitter. None of us were born angry. I've never met an angry baby. You know, pick up a little, such an angry little. You know, none of us are born angry. We become angry. We become bitter. Why? Because the enemy is attacking our identity. What else changes our identity? The media, social media, the constant messages that bombard us. You know, I read the other day an interesting fact that in one day, we receive more information in one day, as in the gigabytes and the video and the media and the messages and the pictures that we receive in one day, than our grandparents received in their whole lifetime. Our brains were not designed to handle the amount of information that is being bombarded at us. And because of so much information through social media, guess what? It is changing our identity without us even knowing it. I've been off social media now for 3 weeks. And as I've been sharing, it's been a really refreshing experience because what's happened is all this information has just stopped. I remember I used to go into the hairdressers. And I used to ask for a David Beckham haircut. They used to have it on the wall. You could have a David Beckham haircut for £10. Bring it back. I might have had his hair, but I didn't have his right foot. But here's the deal. Everything is coming at us. Images of Hollywood. Images on social media. And it's trying to create our identity to be someone else's. What about the voices that we allow into our heads? I've shared this story before, so ignore it if you've heard it. But 10 years ago, I did a marathon. But it wasn't a normal marathon. It was called an ultra marathon. It was in Cape Town. And it was 42-mile race, and it was up a mountain in the summer, so it was quite warm. But to do this marathon, you had not just to train hard, you had to go on a training course where ultramarathon runners from the past would talk to you about how to cope with extreme heat, how to cope with hydration, and all the things. So I went on this training course and listened, and this man who'd done like 20 ultramarathons spoke. And he said, I'm not here today to tell you what trainers to wear. I'm not here to tell you how to train or not how to train. I'm here to talk to you about Percy the Parrot. I thought, this has cost me £100 to hear about Percy the Parrot. He said, let me tell you who Percy the Parrot is. Percy the Parrot is the guy who sits on your shoulder and he will tell you in the morning when you're about to get up and train to go back to bed. Percy the Parrot is the person who's going to tell you to quit. Percy the Parrot is going to tell you something that you don't want to hear. And here's the deal in life. You know, we've all got Percy Parrots in our life. We've all got something on our shoulder that's telling us to do something or not to do something. Something that can potentially voices in our life. And, you know, certain things that Percy the Parrot can say is this. You know, for us as Christians, is you've got to earn God's acceptance to be loved. You don't matter. The amount of young adults and young people over the years I've worked with, and they say to me, I don't really matter. You're not going to amount to anything in life, or your life is worthless, or, you know, your career's not going to go far. You should be ashamed of yourself. You can never do anything right. And Percy the Parrot is constantly on all of our shoulders telling us we're not good enough. We'll never amount to anything. We've got to be aware of this because all these voices, these noises can actually form our identity. But there's one more thing that the enemy uses in our life. It's this. It's called the repeater. The repeater. Let me explain what the repeater is. The repeater is when we keep repeating things back to ourselves. So someone tells us we will not make it. Someone tells us we're not good enough. And what we do is we keep repeating that voice back. Can anyone remember someone who spoke something over their lives, but you've still got that voice that's just circulating in your mind? It's called the repeater. And so we keep listening to the enemy's lies, and he says it over and over again, I'm worthless. I can't, I'm useless. And we become our own worst enemies because we believe the lies. And what happens is the language becomes our identity. So how do we live out our true identity with all these things coming against us? With social media and the repeater and Percy the parrot. How do I know who the real me is? That's a good question to ask ourselves tonight. I want to say a big welcome as well to those who are watching and joining us online this evening. Would you give those guys a hand and welcome them into the room? The word Christian is actually only used twice in the whole of the Bible. But the words in Christ are used over 140 times. So Christian is just used a couple of times, but in Christ, 140. The most used term to describe someone who is a follower of Christ is this, in the Bible, in Christ. So I want to ask us a question tonight. The question is this, who am I? Not in social media's eyes, not in my parents' eyes, not in my employer's eyes, not in all the things we think are important, but who am I in Christ? If 140 times the scripture mentions I am in Christ, then who am I in Christ? My identity is not in what I wear. My identity is not in who someone thinks I am. My identity is not in what I do. My identity is who I am in Christ. And Peter, in the Bible, he gives us four identity marks of who we are in Christ. And I want to share these with you this evening. 1 Peter 2:9, this is our passage for this evening. It says, you have been chosen by God himself. You are priests of the King. You are holy and pure. You are God's very own. All this so that you might show to others how God called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Now I want to show you God's view of you. Because often our view of us and others' views of us can actually distort our true identity. But I want to share four thoughts tonight about who you are. The number one is this. I want to make this personal, I am completely accepted. I am completely accepted. Peter said, you're chosen. You are chosen. You know, we all have wounds from the past. I think the biggest challenge for this generation is one word, rejection. Rejection. Rejection is such a dirty word. Whenever I say the word rejection, our minds go back to a point in time, a place, a person, when we felt rejected. We've all felt rejected. Who's ever felt rejected? You go to bed with 1,000 followers on Instagram, you wake up with 999. Someone had the audacity in the middle of the night to unfollow you on Instagram. You know what? That hurt. Don't ever download the app. Because rejection hurts. Has anyone ever been rejected in a job? You walk out of the interview room and think, wow, I did so well. And then you get the email. Unfortunately, you didn't make it. But Peter says this. He says, you're chosen. You see, we base our acceptance on how well we think we're doing, rather than what God's word says about us. And our desire, let's be honest, all of our desires, there's no one in this room who doesn't desire to be accepted. We crave acceptance. You ever not got the invite to the party? It hurts. We crave to be loved. We were born to be loved and to love. And our desire to be accepted, you know what? It can actually change the way we dress, the way we talk, what we do. I remember at school, people would just start smoking to get accepted. I said to my friend, Owen, I said, Owen, why are you smoking? He says, because I want to be with that lot. People do, they do crazy things to be accepted. People start drinking or swearing or changing their language just to feel part of something, part of a community. And we do the craziest things in life to feel accepted. Why? Because the pain of not being accepted is even greater. There's some good news tonight. We don't have to chase after the feeling of acceptance because acceptance is a gift from God. every single person in this room, you are accepted. The truth about you is this: you have been chosen by God Himself. You don't have to place your value on whether you got chosen in the team or you didn't get chosen in the team. You don't have to place your value on what people say about you or don't say about you. Your acceptance comes from God. Ephesians 1:4 says, long ago, even before He made the world, God chose us. Even before He created a plant on earth, He chose you. He decided that to make us holy in His eyes, without a single fault, we stand before Him covered with His love. Think about this. Before God even created planet earth, He chose you. Before the solar system, before the galaxies, before the mountains, before the sun, God chose you. That's how deep His love is towards you. You know, my children, I've got two children. Miracle Joy, she's 8 going on 18. Help me, Lord. And my son, Justice, who's 5, who's collecting plastic guns, and we've got to have talks with him. He wants to be a cowboy, and I'm trying to say to him, that doesn't work in Norwich, but he's just... We had a plumber around the house the other day, and he's shooting him. I'm like, Justice, don't do that. He's here to fix the radiator. But my children are not accepted because of what they can do. My children are accepted because who they are. And if your acceptance is based on what you have to do, that's not true identity. And so the gift of acceptance is this: I am completely accepted by God. I don't know what your background is. I don't know where you came from. I don't know how you found yourself either watching this, listening to one podcast, or in the room. But the message tonight is this: you are completely accepted of God. The second point is this: I'm accepted and I am extremely valuable. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood. This gets even better. I'm not just accepted, I'm valuable. God says, I don't just accept you, I value you. Isn't it lovely to be valued? And the Bible says, you're not just valuable, you're extremely valuable. A few years ago, I went to the Tower of London to visit the Crown Jewels. Has anyone ever visited the Crown Jewels? There they are. Isn't she lovely as well? I don't know who that is, but she seems to be doing a fantastic job with the jewels. Hope she doesn't drop them. Now, these Crown Jewels are not just acceptable. They're not just valuable. They are extremely valuable. And I spoke to the gentleman. He had a funny hat on. I said, just out of interest, how much are they worth? And he smiled. He looked at me, he said, they are priceless. They are priceless. You know when God looks down from heaven and He sees you, He doesn't just accept you. He doesn't just think you're valuable. He doesn't even think you're extremely valuable. This is how God sees you: priceless. You are priceless. Now here's the deal. You got to start seeing yourself that way. So what? Think about this. What makes things valuable? Number one is this: the owner. I want to show you this shirt. This is a very special shirt. Who would give me £10 for this shirt? £10. This shirt, true story, this shirt was worn by Leonardo DiCaprio in the movie Titanic. Now, I'll start the bidding at £100. Who'd give me £100 for that now? It's worn by Leonardo DiCaprio in the movie Titanic. You can watch it, scene 2. Go on. Not all the scenes are good, by the way, in that movie, all right? Sometimes the shirt wasn't always on, so we've got to be careful. What makes this shirt valuable is not the shirt, but the owner of the shirt. What makes our lives valuable is not us, it's who we belong to. By the way, that was not worn by Leonardo DiCaprio. And if it was, I'd be a very rich man. Joseph, that would look very nicely on you, so you can take that from me. Give Joseph a hand. There we go. So who's the question? Who do you belong to? Who do you belong to? If God's my owner, I'm not valuable. I'm not extremely valuable. I'm priceless. I belong to the King of Kings. I have royal blood. Now, there's been a lot of talk in the news this week about royalty. I'm not going to get into that. But I do think we should leave them alone and let them live and just be who they want to be. But that's the deal. But here's the deal. We are all royalty in God's eyes. We are all royalty. We are all royalty. For you are people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you out of all the peoples on the face of the earth to be his treasured possession. We're royal. So second thing, what makes things valuable? Number one is the owner. I'm valuable because I'm royal. The second is this. What makes something valuable is this. What people are prepared to pay for it. I wonder how much your house is worth. Probably not as much as you think it is. I can tell you, I can value your house from this stage. You ready? This is how much your house is worth. In fact, this is how much your car's worth. It's determined by what someone is prepared to pay for it. Not what you think it's worth. And here's the deal. I am valuable because Jesus gave his life for me. That's what makes me valuable, because Jesus was prepared to leave the comfort of heaven, step down to earth, and die a cruel death on a cross, and that gives me value. Because he was prepared to pay with his life. And I had someone say to me recently, he said, John, I just feel like trash. I thought, wow, you know, Jesus did not die for trash. You're not trash, you're valuable. You're valuable. Someone just needs to hear that tonight as the team come up. You're valuable. I'm extremely valuable. And number three is this. I'm eternally loved. I'm eternally loved. I'm completely accepted. I'm extremely valuable. And I am eternally loved. It says, you are God's very own. Here's the deal. God says, I'm not ashamed of my people and my family. You ever been embarrassed by your crazy mother-in-law? I have. Or the cousin, crazy cousin in your life. You know, God will never, ever be ashamed of you. Others might feel like they're ashamed of you, but God says, you are my very own. We are God's. We are his children. You know, that's the kind of love that God has for you today, that he calls you family. Maybe you haven't heard those words for a long time, that you're loved, you're valuable, you're accepted. Well, that's how God sees you. Jeremiah 31 in the Bible says, I have loved you with an everlasting love, and with an unfailing love, I draw you to myself. There's just two characteristics I want to draw from this verse about God's love. First one is this, God's love is unending. His love is everlasting. You know, many of you might have been in relationships or in marriages and they've fallen apart and the love stops. Many of you have got stories like that. But here's the great thing about God's love. It's unending. It never stops. Even when we fail. And often when we fail in relationships, the relationship stops. But even when we mess up, when we make mistakes, with God's love, he never stops loving us. It is constant. The second thing when it comes to God's love is this. Its love is unfailing. It's unconditional. Human love might come to an end, but God's love for you will never end. God's love is unconditional. Often we think if we could just do more, if we could serve more homeless people, if we could help more people, if we read our Bible more, God would love us more. But God doesn't work like that. God loves you. His love is unending, and his love towards us is not based on what we do. It's based on who he is. You know, I struggle with that. I struggle with unconditional, everlasting love. Because sometimes we don't experience it like that. But God's love for you is unending. And God's love for you tonight is everlasting. And you know what? Before I'm a dad, before I'm a pastor, before I'm a chaplain, before I'm a canon, a son, this is my identity tonight. This is my identity. My identity is this. I am completely accepted. I am extremely valuable. And I am eternally loved because I am in Christ. Now that is my true identity. Not what people want to throw at me. Not what I see on social media. Not what others might think I am. My identity is in Christ. If my identity stays in Christ, I will keep my true identity. Amen. Come on, why don't we stand to our feet? You've listened so well tonight. Thank you. And we're going to sing this song. It's called, I Am No Longer a Slave to Fear. I am a child of God. And I want us to sing this tonight because often we base our identity on so many other things. But tonight, God wants you to know that He loves you unconditionally. He loves you with an everlasting love. For some of you, it's a reminder. For some of you, it's the first time you've heard this. Tonight, you are loved. God accepts you. God loves you just the way you are. Let's sing this together.
You unravel me.
Amen. That is our true identity. We are children of God. You know, we want to give everyone in this room an invitation tonight to receive His love, His unending love, His everlasting love, the love which says no matter what has happened, no matter the mistakes I've made. Let me tell you, we've all made plenty of mistakes. We've all done things we wish we could reverse. But God is not here. The Bible said He didn't come to condemn the world. He came to save the world. And God is not here to condemn you, to point out your failures, and your losses and your poor choices. That's not what God does. He comes to bring life and help and save people in their darkest moments. Tonight, I would love to pray with you. In just a moment, we're going to say a prayer. We're going to invite people to receive the love of God in exchange for their past and their sin. It's a beautiful exchange. I think it's pretty cool because we get to give God our hurts, our worries, our concerns. In exchange, He gives us a sense of purpose. He gives us love. He gives us a release from our sins. I think that's a pretty good deal. You say, well, what do I have to do to earn that? Well, we just talked about that. Nothing, because you're His child. My children don't have to earn Christmas presents. They're my children. Because I love them, I want to give them a gift. And God gives us this gift tonight. Not because of how good or badly we behave or what we do or what we don't do. He gives us this gift simply because we're His children. So all that's left for us to do is receive the gift. Receive the gift. And this is an opportunity for you to receive the gift of salvation. It's a free gift. I'm going to pray in just a moment, but I'd love to know who I'm praying for. And so every eye closed, this is a private moment. If you're saying tonight, John, I want to receive God's love. I've tried to figure out life my own way and it just hasn't worked out. But tonight I accept that true identity is found in Jesus. And I am eternally loved. Unreservedly loved. Tonight I want to receive that gift from Him. I'm going to count to three. If you say, John, include me in that prayer. All over this room, just slip up your hand long enough and high enough so I can see it, so I can include you in that prayer. One, He loves you. Two, have the courage right now just to slip up your hand and say, pray for me. Just slip up nice and high so I can see it. God bless you. God bless you. Beautiful. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Many of you lifting your hands. Amazing. All right. You can put your hands down and we're going to say this prayer. In fact, we're all going to say it together. Dear Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you that He died for me. Thank you that He took my place. And tonight, I'm sorry for my sins. I'm sorry for living life my own way. I receive your love and I receive your grace. Give me a fresh start from this day forward. I am a child of God. My identity is in you. Amen. Amen. Come on, let's give a hand to everyone who said that prayer. If you lifted up your hand, maybe you didn't lift up your hand. It's not about your hand. It's about what happens in your heart. But you really felt a connection to God and some part of the service tonight. Maybe it was in the worship, in the music moment, or maybe it was when I was speaking, or maybe it was a conversation you had in a cafe, but you felt some kind of leaning towards God, towards faith. We've got a gift for you. It's a Bible, and it's called the New Testament Experience. It's packed full of pictures and modern day language to help you understand it. And so our team will be out in the foyers. Please take this. It's a gift from us to you to help you remember this moment, this night. But also, I want to encourage you to take some time each day just to read this, because it will give you direction for your life. It will give you strength and wisdom for every day. And so please feel free to take that. But one more time, would you thank everyone who lifted up their hand and said that prayer tonight? What a great decision. Please take your Bible as you leave. The second thing I want to encourage you to do, if you said that prayer, is keep coming back to church. You know, church is a great place. We heard tonight from one of the lads in Clive that, you know, you can escape the everyday life. For them, it's football, but you can escape. You can come into this atmosphere and you're not judged. You're just loved, loved of God. And you can, again, you can realign your identity in a community, in an environment like this. You can find out who you truly are because of the voices and Percy Parrots out in the world who want to try and make us into how they think as we can be. But we can find our true identity when we're planted in church. And so, hey, well done for being in church tonight. Have you enjoyed tonight? Hey, if the word spoke to you tonight, if you felt there was something there, maybe you felt unloved, maybe you felt like your identity was being pulled in a different direction, maybe there was something I said tonight, but you felt, hey, I need to just, you know, just meditate that I'm eternally loved. You know, my identity is in Him. Just slip up your hand. I want to pray for you. Something there tonight. Father God, we thank you tonight for your word. We thank you that our identity is not in what people say about us. It's not in what the media think about us. Our identity is found in who we are in Christ. I thank you that we are a royal priesthood. Father, I thank you that you love us dearly, not because what we've done or can do, but because of who we are in you. So I pray this week we would meditate on your love towards us, Father God. And when the Percy the Parrot tries to remind us about things in the past, our mistakes, our times we messed up, Father, we'll keep bringing it back to our love that is found in you, and that you love us unreservedly, Father God. And we thank you today, Lord. I speak blessing and favor over your church this week as we go into university, into school, Father God, into work, Father God. Whatever happens this week, I thank you that, God, you are with us and you want the best for us because we're your children. So strengthen us this week. May we make good choices that move our lives forward in Jesus' name. Come on, let's sing it one more time. Let's declare it in faith tonight.
Thanks again for tuning in. And if you said the salvation prayer today, we'd love for you to email connecttofaith@soulchurch.com so we can talk to you a little bit more about this incredible decision that you've just made.
Yeah, you know, and if at any point in the service you felt moved to give towards any of our local or global initiatives, then head to soulchurch.com and click on the giving at the top of the page.
Thanks again for joining us today, and we hope to see you again soon. God bless.